God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton here on The Encouraging Word. The Encouraging Word. Today we're wrapping up the second part of a message we began yesterday with Dr. Wilton giving us an understanding of this definition of what it is to be saved, to gain clarity in our life, and more than that, to continue to express that clarity in the way we live out our life as followers of Jesus. While we study the Word together, headed to 1 John, beginning in chapter 1, verse 8, in just a few moments. Know that we're available for you. We'd love to pray with you and for you on our phone line at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or we connect online as well at tewonline.org. That's the place where everyone's discovering the new book from Dr. Wilton about Billy Graham. Again, that's tewonline.org. Now today's teaching with Dr. Don.
What hope is there in this sin-sick world? Outside of the fact that we can know that we know that we know. Paul put it like this, though, in case we think we can ever take advantage of the grace of God. Paul said in his letter to Rome, "What shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." If today you say, well, then that gives me a license to sin. As long as it troubles me, I'm okay. I want you to know that is not what God's Word is teaching. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That is not what the Word of God teaches, my friends. Maybe you're seated here this morning. You'd say to me, Pastor, my son made a decision for Christ when he was 8 or 9 or 10 or 16, and today, as a grown man, he doesn't come to church and he shows no interest in spiritual things. How do I know if he's a Christian or not? Ask the question, is he sensitive to sin? Does sin bother him? I can look at all these young people whom I love so much, and I can say to young people today, teenagers, when you're out there on Saturday night, when nobody else sees you and your parents are not around and nobody to check on you, and you're out there with your friends and you're in places that nobody knows about, that's the acid test of your salvation. Does sin bother you? If you just join in with a group and float down the stream with all the other dead fish and enter into sin and it makes no difference, it doesn't matter how many times you sit in church on a Sunday morning, you are not sensitive to sin, and according to God's Word, you are not saved. I went to a man many years ago in Pensacola, Florida, who had walked out on his family. I want you to know I will never forget that, because my initial experience with this man, he almost kicked me out of his home. Sorry, it wasn't in Pensacola, Brownsville, Tennessee. And this man looked at me and he said to me, "Preacher, I want you to know, you see that little Baptist church? I was baptized down there. My father was a deacon there. I went to Sunday school there. I go to church whenever I feel like it. But preacher, you're not going to come into my house and tell me how to live and what to do and what I can do with my life. Whatever I want to do is my business." I want you to know, friend, that man, according to God's Word, is not saved, no matter what anybody has to say about it. Am I sensitive to sin? Look at that verse again. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Number two, I can know that I'm saved if I am submissive to God's commandments. I can experience God by knowing that I know that I know that I'm saved if I am submissive to God's commandments. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, 4, and 5. We know that we have come to know Him. See, I didn't make this up. I wish I had. I would have put a patent on that. Can you imagine my tithe to the church? We know that this is God's Word. You see, this is God's patent. I like that, actually, God's patent. We know that we know that we know that we know that we have come to know Him. How do we know that? There it is. If we obey His commands, the man who says, I know him. Let me read that again in case you miss it. The man or woman who says, well, but of course I know him. I know him. But does not do what he commands is what? My sweet mother used to get so upset with the three boys when we would call each other liars, you know. It's just not a savory word. It's right here in the Word of God. It's a strong word. Listen to it. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. There it is again. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we are in him. How do I know that I know that I know that I'm saved? Number one, if I'm sensitive to sin. Number two, if I am submissive to God's commandments. Now, what does that mean? Here's what it means. Do I genuinely want to do what God wants me to do? Do you want to do what God wants you to do? We've just done experiencing God, knowing and doing the will of God. That's what it's all about. Do you, as an individual person, do you genuinely and sincerely before God want to do what God wants you to do? Now, that's a question that you can only answer before God. Now, you might say to me this morning, well, Pastor, does this mean that I must have always done exactly what God wants me to do? No, ma'am, no, sir. Because if you always did exactly what God always wanted you to do, guess what? You'd be sinless. You'd be perfect. The Bible says we are not exempt from sin. We are sensitized to sin. And so when I don't do what God wants me to do, guess what happens? It bothers me. You got it? It bothers me. It troubles me. It gives me the jitterbugs. It makes me unhappy. Do you know why? Because I'm standing outside of the parameters of God's will. I'm not doing what God wants me to do. And if I'm not doing what God wants me to do, because I'm sensitized to sin, it troubles me. Why? Because as a born-again believer, as a Christian man, I genuinely want to do what God wants me to do. You can put a number of acid tests on yourself. Are you prepared to go exactly where God wants you to go? If God came to you today and said to you, I want you to go here, there, or there. I want you to be a missionary. I want you to go into the ministry. I want you to move your job. I want you to change your home. Would you do it? If God told you to do it, would you do it? Young people, is God interested in who we date? Absolutely. God's interested in everything that we do. Do you consult God with regard to who you date, the university you go to, the things that you do, the places that you frequent, the manner in which you speak? The Bible says, I can know that I'm saved. Number one, am I sensitive to sin? Number two, am I submissive to God's commands? Number three, here it is. Write it down. Am I saturated in God's love? Am I saturated in God's love? Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. I can know that I'm saved. I can know that I can experience God by knowing that I'm saved. How? If I'm saturated in God's love. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. Here it is. We know that we have passed from death to life. This is probably the most succinct summary of John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not die, but should have eternal life. Listen to what the apostle says. He says, we know that we have passed from death to life. We know that we've been born again by the Spirit of God. We know that we've had our sins forgiven. We know that we have received eternal life. We know that one day when we die, if Jesus were to come again, that we're going to be transported by the angels. to be seated at the feast table of the King. We know that we have passed from death unto life. How do we know that? Because we feel good? Because we always walk around with a smile on our face? Because we're the pastor of a church? Because we sing in the choir? Because we give money to the poor? How do we know that we've passed from death to life? Well, here it is. Because we love the brothers. We love brothers and sisters. We love one another. Anyone who does not love remains in death. That word is an eternal word with eternal significance. And the word death there, by the way, is the same word that is used in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. The second death. Eternal death. Separation from God forever and forever. Death that has no semblance of life in it whatsoever. Here the apostle says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Anyone who does not love remains in death, abides in death, continues in death, is lost, is headed for a Christless eternity. Now you say to me this morning, Pastor, what does it mean to be saturated in God's love? Well, to be saturated in God's love means that you are overwhelmed by the love of God living and reigning in your heart. People all over this congregation just like that. No question about it. I've experienced it firsthand. No question about it. Miss Tony, what a precious lady right there. I tell you, couldn't love a lady more than Miss Tony. She's such a blessing. You know, the first time I met you, Tony, you probably don't even remember this, but you said a couple of things to me that I'm telling you I'll just never forget. I'm not going to share them around here, so you don't need to be nervous about it. But I want you to know I've loved that lady from the day that I first saw her. Now, the first time I met Tony, some 3 years ago, it was just like instantaneous. Now, she didn't have to walk up to me and do something extraordinary. She didn't have to fling her arms around me. She didn't have to say a whole lot. She didn't have to reach in her jacket pocket and take out her wallet and give me $100. Now, she could have if she wanted to. But she didn't have to do all these kinds of things to try and win over my love. It was just instantaneous. Mr. Hayden over there, what a precious man. I said to myself, I'm not going to start calling names, and here I am. See, I could go down one row after another right throughout this congregation and talk about the love of God's people in God's house among one another. Jesus put it like this. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How? If you love one another.
Isn't that the most powerful definition of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ? We're defined by our love because Jesus is so exemplary in his teaching of us to love one another. I don't think I've ever seen anyone argued into the faith, but I've seen so many people loved to Christ as we stretch our arms out like Jesus did on the cross and embrace those that need Jesus. Know that that embrace is for you as well. If you'd like to talk with someone or pray with someone, our phone number is a great way to connect. 866-899-WORD is the number. That's 866-899-9673. Or keyboard to keyboard on our website, tewonline.org is the place you'll find so many resources, including the brand new book with Dr. Don talking about Saturdays with Billy, his experiences as being the pastor of Dr. Billy Graham for over 25 years. We'll give you a little more details about that later in the broadcast, but such an important book, such a great tool for inspiration and encouragement. Again, details online at tewonline.org. Now back to today's great teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
You'd say to me, Pastor, what is the mark of a born-again believer? A born-again believer is someone who loves people. Now, if you love people, what's going to happen is you're going to speak from a heart of love. Your attitude is going to be motivated from a heart of love. Your actions are going to be based upon love. The things that you do are because of love. And the Bible says that you know that you have passed from death unto life because you are saturated in God's love. Folks, that happened to me. My wife will tell you there was a time when I was a bit of an angry kind of person. God got a hold of my life. I can truly stand in front of this congregation today, not just say empty words. The word love is so empty today. I can say from the bottom of my heart that I love every one of you so dearly in the Lord Jesus Christ. From a heart. No matter where you come from, where you've been, what you've done, I love you in the Lord Jesus Christ. How can you and I know that we know that we know that we're saved? Am I sensitive to sin? Am I submissive to God's commandments? Am I saturated in God's love? Number four. Am I filled with God's Spirit? Am I filled with God's Spirit? Look at chapter 3 and verse 24. The first part of chapter 24 goes to the second point. Am I submissive to God's commandments? The second part of verse 24 goes to the fourth point. Am I filled with God's Spirit? Listen to this. And this is how we know that He lives in us. Here He is again talking about the indwelling of God by His Spirit. This is how we know that He lives in us. How do we know that He lives in us? Because we smile all day? No, sir. Because we preach a sermon? No, sir. Because we give gifts? No, sir. Because we're members of a church? No, sir. We know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit which He gave to us. Look at chapter 4 and verse 13. Read it again. We know that we live in Him and He in us. How? Because He has given us of His Spirit. Now, when do you receive the Spirit of God? The Bible says the instantaneous moment that you repent of your sin and by faith trust in Jesus Christ, you receive all of God the Father, all of God the Son, and all of God the Holy Spirit. You don't receive the Holy Spirit consequent or subsequent to salvation. And the Word of God says, my friends, that the way in which you can know that you're saved is if you've got the Spirit of God in you, which leads us to a very, very good question, don't you think? If having the Spirit of God living in me means that I can know that I'm saved, how do I know if I've got the Spirit of God in me? How do I know if God's Spirit is in me? There are three ways that you can know you've got God's Spirit in you. You ready? Write these down. They're important. If having the Spirit of God living in you is the way that you can know that you're saved, here's the way you can know you've got the Spirit of God in you. Number one, are you sensitive to sin? Now, some of you are going to take a little while to catch on to this morning. Number one, are you sensitive to sin? You say to me, Pastor, why is being sensitive to sin a sign of the Holy Spirit in me? It's a sign, my friend, because one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to convict me of my sin. It is the Holy Spirit who sensitizes me to sin. It is not me. That is why the world out there will do whatever they want to do in whatever manner they want to do it, and they couldn't care less. You know why? Because they are not sensitized to sin by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. How can sin bother them outside of their human conscience? The human conscience and the indwelling, convicting power of the Spirit of God are two different things altogether. Number one, I can know that I've got the Spirit of God in me if I'm sensitive to sin. Number two, I can know that I've got the Spirit of God in me if I'm submissive to God's commandments. You say, why? Simply put, my friends, because if it wasn't for the Spirit of God, I'd do what Frank Sinatra, old Blue Eyes, has been trying to get America to do for years. I'd do it my way. That's right. It's the me generation. Whether you talk about baby boomers or builders or baby busters or whatever title group you want to put anybody in, I want you to know that the Word tells us, my friends, that those who are outside of Christ are the me generation, whether they were born 1,000 years ago or not, because everything in those outside of Christ points inward. Everything in those who are inside Christ points outward. One who has Jesus living in his heart is going to point outward so that others might become the beneficiary of what is in our hearts and lives. That's why missions is so important to the Christian man and the Christian woman, because we give. That is why evangelism is priority. That is why we must keep the main thing the main thing. Why? Because we want others to know the joy that we know. So, how can I know I've got the Spirit of God in me? Number one, am I sensitive to sin? Number two, am I submissive to God's commands? Number three, am I saturated in God's love? Well, you say to me today, Pastor, why does being saturated in God's love mean that I know that I've got the Spirit of God in me? You want me to tell you why? Because some people are jolly hard to love, aren't they? Huh? All nod like us. Don't do that to him, just nod. I mean, folk, are everybody you ever meet, are people just all lovable, cuddly, cute, huh? No, sir. Some people are jolly hard to love. There are some very difficult people in the world. I wonder if you've ever met a really difficult person. You say it's black, they say it's white. You say it's up, no, it's down. Always on their feet, always got something to say, always got a question, always got an argument. Always mad about something. Doesn't matter what you do, they're always going to be mad about something. They're always going to bring it up. It doesn't matter what form, what fashion. It's always there. I'm going to tell you, friend, in the workplace, in the marketplace, in the church place, on the playgrounds of life, there are many people, including ourselves, who are not always easy to love. So how do we love? Not because of us. Not because of me. But because of the Spirit of God who is in me. The Spirit of God enables me and enables you to love other people. Do you have the Spirit of God in you? You say to me this morning, Pastor, how can I know that I know that I'm saved? You ready for it? Number one, are you sensitive to sin? Number two, are you willingly submissive to God's command? You really want to do what God wants you to do. Number three, are you saturated in God's love? We're now, folks, now, please, I've got to say, we're not talking about, you know, smoochy, smoochy kind of love here. We're not talking about hubba, bubba, bubba stuff. We're not talking about bubble gum and froth. We're not talking about just all walking around in some kind of false orbit. We're talking about a genuine stuff that comes from the toenails, where you just know that people love you. It's just there. It's just solid. It is the mark of the church. It is the very fabric of God's house. It is the fiber that drives everything that God's people do for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saturated in God's love? Do you come prepared and armed to the teeth to break others down? Or do you love people? Number four, are you filled with God's Spirit? Do you know that you're filled with God's Spirit? And then there is one final one. Do you believe the Scriptures? Do you believe the Scriptures? See, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, I write these things unto you who believe on the name of the Son of God. Why? Why are these things written unto you? That you may know that you know that you know that you know that you have eternal life. You see, my friend, the issue is this. Do you believe God's word? Yes or no? If you believe God's word, what has God's word said to you today? What is God's word? I had a man come to me many years ago when I preached this message, and he said to me, Pastor, I believe three out of the five, but you cannot say those other two things. I said to him, my dear brother, I didn't say those other two things. God's word said to them, do you believe the word or don't you? And on that basis, do you know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? You settle that issue with the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend.
That's the simple question. Settle the issue. Perhaps you've listened to Dr. Wilton before, and he never finishes a message without challenging us about where we are in our faith. whether we've started that journey with Jesus Christ or whether or not we maybe need to make some course corrections. If you'd like to have someone talk with you, our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And it would be our honor and privilege to talk with you, pray with you, connect you with some resources. But right now, I want to connect you with our pastor as he comes back into the studio, not preaching, not teaching, but just sharing his heart.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
If you just prayed with Dr. Wilton moments ago to give your life to Christ, to rededicate your life, we're so excited to see what God's going to do next. We'd love to encourage you, pray for you, and Dr. Wilton has resources he wants you to have absolutely free. Just call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with those resources. You can do it on our website as well, which is filled with resources, tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And you'll discover more about this grand new resource, Saturdays with Billy.
Hello, everyone. I'm Don Wilton, and I know that most people in the world would identify Dr. Billy Graham as the man who preached the gospel to millions of people around the world, friend of presidents and prime ministers, queens and kings. But what was Mr. Graham like in person? I had the extraordinary privilege and honor to know Mr. Graham as both a friend and as his pastor. Over the years, I would drive every Saturday to visit him right there in his home in North Carolina. We'd sit and walk and talk about families and politics, sports and faith, all the things friends share with each other. My friendship with Mr. Graham changed my life. And it is my hope that some of the stories in Saturdays with Billy will bless you as well. God bless you.
Call now to discover how you can get your copy at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or you'll find out more details on our website, tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Connect for your book and those resources and let us encourage you.